Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Second down and two. Woodhead up the middle. First down. He's inside the 25, inside the 20, turning outside. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Danny Woodhead. Boy, did he scoot. Exploded through the hole and then just cut it to the outside and outran the defense.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves. Especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Happy Wednesday. It's actually kind of miserable outside if you're around the greater New England area. Certainly here in Foxborough, it sucks. Raining like cats and dogs. It's crazy out there today. But we're here to keep you dry and toasty. Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com here until 6 p.m. This evening, and broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Phone number 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. And, of course, you can always email me at webradio at patriots.com and Facebook me as well, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. If you want to tweet, I'll check my tweet page also from time to time, but better that you do the webmail of radio at patriots.com or Facebook me. There's already a few up there that I will get to shortly. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour today, we'll have Jeff Darlinston of the Miami Herald at 5:30 get his take on any new changes going on in Miami or what he can expect yesterday. Got some good insight yesterday from Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And Jeff Darlinston is like, he's all over the place down in Florida. You see him nationally as well sometimes, all over. He's very well known, very well respected. So we'll get his take. And I was talking to John in the, and first, I just have to get this off my chest real quick because, you know, sometimes, I told you, I mean, obviously 99% of what we do here is going to be about the Patriots and about the NFL, but most of you know how big, you know, I'm not just a big sports guy, but I'm a huge, huge hockey guy. And I got to tell you, it made me sick to my stomach today, this morning, finding out about that private Russian jet, you know, the locomotive Yaroslavl of the KHL crashing moments after takeoff and killing 43 people. A lot of former NHL players died today, including former Boston Bruin Brad McCrimmon, who came up with Ray Bourque back in 1979. And he was traded back to Philadelphia back in 82-83 for Pete Peters, part of that big deal. But, you know, Pavel Dimitra passed away. I know for a fact that that's one of Zdeno Chara's very close friends. And there are a lot of good people lost today. I hate to start the show on something like this, but I feel I have to say it because I'm a huge, huge hockey guy as well, and it just makes you just sick to your stomach. I know there's a lot of hockey people out there that listen to the show as well, and most people are all big sports fans, and I know there's not a huge connection to this area with some of the people, with the exception of Brad McCrimmon, but it just life is so short. It's just what a shame that this happened, and I'm still stunned, to be honest with you, how ESPN took about an hour and a half to cut in and break the story, even talk about it. Instead, we had to hear about Peyton Manning not being able to play, which everybody knew anyway. But that's another rant for another time. But again, to all the families and friends out there who were close to any of these players, my condolences to you. And it's a sad day. Something like this. This is just a terrible thing that's happened. And so we move on. Now, I just had to get that off my chest because I know those of you had some calls today about it and then some Facebook messages about it as well. You know, being the big hockey fan that I am, it's just sad that this happened. And so we move on. Now on to, you know, hopefully happier things with the Patriots. But just wanted to, you know, sometimes you get a take a step back a little bit, and I mean, I was pretty upset this morning when I saw it, and it just it just makes you want to throw up on the spot, to be honest with you. But that's it. Enough of that for now. Again, my condolences to all the family and friends of those players that passed earlier from that tragic plane crash. Moving on to the Patriots. As I said, later on this afternoon, coming up, Jeff Darlinston, Miami Herald, will join me at 5:30. And until then, there is a lot to talk about today. As usual, breaking down and getting ready for the Patriots-Miami game, and also just getting ready for the NFL in general. I mean, I'm pretty excited. That's going to be one hell of a game tomorrow night in Wisconsin between Green Bay and New Orleans. And hopefully we'll have a special national guest on tomorrow night. I'm not going to say who yet, but we'll get the set the stage tomorrow from somebody who's going to be attending that game out there, because I know most of you are all not only Patriot fans out there, but I know a lot of you are NFL fans, and this should be one hell of a game tomorrow night. And I think it's going to be a hell of a game on Monday night in Miami. And again, the more I'm reading about it, and the more, you know, you just don't know. You kind of expect the unexpected in week one in Miami. I just think, even though when I give my final prediction for a score, I'm leaning towards something like 31-20, something like that. But I think this will be a very nip and tuck game, and the Patriots may pull away on a late turnover down the stretch. I just don't see opening game, they go into Miami and just destroy them. I don't see it. I just don't. There's a couple of question marks here. Now, if everybody plays spot on, I mean, if they get the pass rush that we saw that they're capable of in the first preseason games, again, preseason, the first couple, and, you know, Alba Hainsworth is not sucking wind after playing two downs in a row, and, you know, Carter looks like he did in game one of the preseason, all of that stuff, and if, you know, Josh Barrett fills in nicely for Brandon Merriweather, not fills in, replaces him and does the job. I mean, Patrick Chung, I have full faith in. I mean, Lee Bodden, we haven't seen a lot of this year at all. In the preseason, so, you know, I'm hopeful. And, you know, Devin McCourty, we know what he can do. Kyle Arrington, I still have, you know, he looks great on some, he looks very good on some plays. Other plays, he doesn't look so good. Rozai Dowling, you know, when now push comes to shove, we'll see. I mean, I like the front seven overall. I like what I'm seeing, but I still think they're going to be in week one. There's some questions. I just don't know how well the secondary is going to gel right off the bat. You got some new faces out there. And, you know, linebackers still look good. With Ninkovich, the Spikes, and Mayo, I like that. You know, my question is, and you can disguise some of your secondary weaknesses. We don't know that they have weaknesses yet. Who knows? Maybe they had something up being the best secondary in football. It's week one. I usually don't start going crazy about stuff like that until like week 10 or 11, because you just don't know. And I'm certainly not going to overreact to what happens in week one. That's for damn sure, like so many people like to do. But we'll see. Sometimes a good pass rush, you know, you get a good pass rush, you can disguise some, you know, what people allege to be weaknesses in the secondary. So we'll have to wait and see what kind of pass rush they get. Again, I'm not worried about the offense at all. Not worried one damn bit about the offense. Although a guy like Cameron Wake is scary. He can change a game. He really can. And he's a tremendous story, by the way. And when Jeff comes on today, we'll talk about it. Guy got cut by the Giants in 07, went to play in the Canadian Football League because nobody would take him in the NFL. Now he's back and hit 14 sacks last year. I mean, that guy, you got to be careful of him because he can change the outcome of a game. He really can. He's one of those guys that can be a menace all night long. So the offensive line, in case you missed it today, the only player that didn't practice today was Vollmer. Everybody else that missed Monday's practice was back in practice today. So, see with Matt Light, Mankins, Kopi, Conley, Vollmer, we'll see. I mean, they've done pretty well in the past, you know, for the most part. We saw a lot from Vollmer last year. Played both sides of the line this year. Played left and right tackle at some point this year. Oh, Nate Solder did, I should say. And he's a pretty good backup as well. So they have some depth there. I mean, Ryan Wendell is back too. At center. So we'll get to see firsthand. The running game, not worried about it at all. I think the law firm and Danny Woodhead and whoever else might fit in. You know, whether it's Ridley or Vereen, we'll get a couple of touches here and there as well, or maybe more. I don't know. But I am not worried about the Patriots' offense right off the bat at all. I am very interested to see the pass rush on this defense on Monday night and how the secondary gels with some couple new faces, seeing significant playing time. Guys like Josh Barrett, guys like Sergio Brown, and then some other people. Chad Ochocinco is one guy on offense I think everybody's going to be keyed on. And like I said, there'll be games this year where he may get one catch or no catches.
Yeah,
and there'll be games he gets maybe 10 or 11. I don't know. I have no idea. There are so many threats this team has on offense. I don't know for the life of me how Miami is going to stop Aaron Hernandez. I don't know. They've never stopped Wes Welker. I mean, that's almost a guarantee of 90-plus yards receiving. But strange, goofy things happen in that stupid stadium in that city. What's it called now? Sunshine Life Stadium? Is this your Sunshine Life Stadium?
Sun Life Stadium.
Sun Life Stadium. Sounds like the Brady Bunch cookie episode or something. Sunlight. I mean, just unbelievable. Yeah. So that's why it's an interesting opening round matchup for the Patriots. I think people have the same most people have the same concerns I do about what's going to happen on defense. I think we're all pretty confident what offense is going to be put out there. Now, that's not to say that Tom and company can't be disrupted, because guys like Cameron Wake can disrupt you if you let them. They can get to you. They got two, Avante Davis, he can be spectacular at times. Sean Smith on the other side, it's not a bad, horrible defense for Miami. Now, but you're talking about a way above average offense that the Patriots have, probably the best in all the NFL. And I know it's week one, but I think it's safe to say that it would be hard to find an offense as good right now, as efficient as the Patriots. I mean, they just have so many weapons. I mean, you can talk about Green Bay, talk about New Orleans a little bit, maybe San Diego. But as far as just gelling and the talent that they have, the experience from some of these guys, and guys like Hernandez and Gronkowski are playing like 10-year veterans. I mean, they're going to be tough to stop. I mean, I just think the tight ends are going to be a huge matchup problem for the Dolphins, because you can blitz Brady, and I know people they overreact at what happened in the Lions games. You put pressure on Brady, does this, he did that. Yeah, I can show you 55 other games where they try to put pressure on Brady and come close, except he burns you a lot of times. If you blitz, go blitz happy on him, he will pick you apart. He will absolutely pick you apart. He's too smart. Is that not to say he doesn't make mistakes sometimes, because he does, but he sure as hell didn't make many last year. The unanimous MVP did not make a lot last year. So I just think they'll show a lot of different looks. I think Tony Sperano will show him a lot of different looks, try to confuse him. I'm sure he'll use some of what the Detroit Lions try to do. Again, it's exhibition season. That's why I don't go crazy what Chad Henne did in preseason. And Chad Henne's been, a 93.4 quarterback rating in preseason, I guess, with 66 completed 66% of his passes. I really don't care, because, I've seen what he's done in the past. However, got to be fair here. So, got some new players. Reggie Bush is out there for him. It's a check down guy. Still got Brandon Marshall, Brian Hartline, Fasano. And, despite Omar Kelly yesterday saying, but Fasano's given the Patriots some problems in the past. Now, can the Dolphins run the ball effectively? That I don't know. Not sure. Reggie Bush is not the kind of guy you give the ball to 20 times and runs up the middle. He's more of a check down receiver guy out of the backfield. You do some different things with him, put him in motion, different things. They don't have Ronnie Brown anymore. They don't have Ricky Williams anymore. So, it's going to be a little bit of a different look. Mark Colombo's not their right, is at their right tackle. Pouncey's a rookie at center. Colombo didn't have the best of years last year. But, again, it's in Miami. It is opening night. It's going to be hot, sticky, muggy, cruddy. And, we've just seen it too many times before in the past. Now, I know the Pats have had their number there, last couple of times. Even Matt Castle, I think the year in 08, I think they spanked him down there by like 20 points in that game. But, you know, it's – I've just seen it too many times. I'm not going to sit here and say the Patriots are going to go down there and win by 30 because I don't think it would be anything like that. I think they'll probably win by somewhere between 10 and 14 points, but it will be very close until the end where they pull away. I just think they just have too many offensive weapons for the Dolphins to stop. But I think it'll be a competitive game. I really do. So we'll see. Number to call here, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. We are broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can also reach me, webradio at patriots.com, webradio at patriots.com, or Facebook me. I will get to those. Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. I will get to all of that, your calls and all your emails coming up on the Pete Shepard Show on patriots.com. We're back after this.
Pete Shepard. Pete Shepard. The Pete Shepard Show on patriots.com radio.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Oh yeah, back here on the Pete Shepherd Show, Patriots.com. How's everybody doing today on this wet Wednesday? Yeah, welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the monsoon that is outside. I mean, you thought yesterday sucked. Today was way worse. Much worse today. Anyway, hope you're safe. Hope you're dry. Thanks for tuning in here on Patriots.com. Again, I will be here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday every day this year during football season between 4 and 6 p.m. Coming up tomorrow, I'll have Brian Lowe on with me. We get the fantasy lowdowns. There's a little bit of fantasy football as well mixed in with the NFL talk. The injury report comes out tomorrow. Also, Bill Belichick spoke today, as did Tom Brady. But, Kev, you wanted to get something from Bill coming up and you ready with that right now? Here's what, and here's head coach Bill Belichick earlier today.
You know, the guys coming in here today, and got a lot of things to work on. Miami's a tough team to get ready for. They run a lot of scheme. Have a lot of good players, and so we always have a tough time with them. So this will be a big challenge for us. Luckily, we have another day. I'm sure we'll need it, but be good to get out there today and, you know, really zero in on a specific opponent and. You know, they're pretty good. Had a good preseason. Look good.
Has their running style changed at all with the change in running back?
It's looks like they've modified it a little bit, but of course, with Bush in the game, it really changes the game. It's like having a receiver in the backfield. So he's a very dynamic player, and a lot of things that he can do that not many other players can do. So his tough guy to defend. But you know, otherwise, the backs have run hard, and line's big. Physical, tight ends do a good job, so receivers block, so they have a good running game.
Does Marshall qualify as one of those guys that even when he's covered, he's not covered because of his size and strength?
Yes, he's a very big target. He had a big play against, who was it, Tampa? Somebody down the sideline, went up, took the ball away from the defender, and broke a couple tackles, went in the end zone. So, you're right, there are times where it looks like he's covered, and then not only does he end up with the ball, but he ends up a lot of yards after that because he's just a hard guy to bring down. So we've had a tough time with him before, and he's looked good in the preseason. He can definitely go up and get the ball, and he's a very physical guy. It's hard to tackle.
Bill, we talked a couple days ago on some of the tight ends about how quiet the tight end room would be, which is Rob and Aaron, and it's safe to say that's not going to be the case anymore.
Probably a little more conversation now. Hopefully, we can keep it on football.
What led to the move? I assume it's probably a little more than just having a brother or something.
Yeah, right. That's pretty coincidental. That's not the purpose of it. But Dan's done a good job at Detroit, and then last year out in Denver, in kind of Josh's offense. So it's easy to see him doing some of the things that are similar to what we do, and so. I feel like he's a good addition to our team at that position, both offensively, and he's also had some playing time in the kicking game. So hopefully he can help us there too.
Is he more a blocker or receiver? Both? What has he done?
Well, he's been involved. I mean, you're a tight end. You're going to be involved in all facets of the game. I don't think he has big receiving numbers, but he can run, catch the ball. Well, I think most important thing for us offensively is just to play well and score points, and individual statistics and all that is not really my focus. Sometimes they're going to go to one player, sometimes they're going to go to another player, and we always come in here on Monday and talk about the player who didn't have the most statistics, what happened to him, but most important thing is how the team performs, whether we get the ball in the end zone and score points. So that's what our goal is offensively. It's not individual statistics.
Let me rephrase. What kind of preseason did you think
Good. Thought he was in good condition. He was out there every day. Practiced well. Gave great leadership to the position. You love having Deion Branch on your team.
With the release of Jordan Moore, I don't know exactly the specifics of veteran contracts and all that, but is he a guy who you could come back or see maybe?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
What was your evaluation of Gerard Quinn?
I thought he did a good job, and we carried him on a roster, and then we had to drop him to make some other moves, so I thought he played very competitively.
Offensively, what do you see that you guys are right now? Have you accomplished what you wanted to do? Making some of those quick decisions and getting the tempo up and all that from the beginning of preseason?
Where are we in terms of practice? I mean, we've practiced a lot of things in training camp, and we'll see how we're able to execute them in the game. I think that we have a good base to build from. How it goes, I don't know. That's why we'll play on Monday night. We'll find out.
What's the scouting report on
Eves? Played outside linebacker at Iowa. Went down to Miami last year, and played inside linebacker. Looked like he was having a pretty good training camp, pretty good preseason, injured his knee, missed the year, and then came back this year and played inside linebacker down there. So I think he has a little bit of inside-outside flexibility, kicking game, has long snapped. So.
Is there any carryover from the Iowa defense to what you do? I mean, obviously, in terms of there schematically or terminology?
I would say there's some fundamentals, the terminology and all that, probably not so much. But I think some of the fundamental things that they teach, especially their front seven, I think there's some carryover.
Bill, I wanted to ask you topic of leadership, captains often set the tone for a team. Have the Patriots selected captains, and if so, who would that be?
That has not been, we've not announced that. But I would also say I think we have a lot of good leadership on this team. And regardless of who the captains are, I think the leadership will come from all the players who provide that, not just the captains.
There are a lot of moving parts, as there always are this time of year. How do you kind of handle this with throwing guys in there, especially some of the guys that you just signed, Gronkowski? Whoever else just signed in the last couple of days, how do you handle this moving forward? Can we give them a small task for next week and see what happens?
Well, once a player is on your team, whether he's on your practice squad or your 53-man roster, he needs to be ready to play. We could play any of those players potentially on Monday night. So the idea is to get them ready. In some cases, it might not be for every single thing. It might not be 100% of the information or the game plan. It might be a fraction of that, or it might be certain roles and certain personnel groups or certain special team units, whatever it happens, however it turns out. So I think you give them all the information, and then as the week goes by, you determine what, if any, you feel comfortable with them doing and playing in the game with doing, and then you go from there. But I mean, we all know the circumstances where if you're at the game, there's no telling what could happen on the first play of the game or the first quarter or whatever. If they're at the game, they have to play.
In the spot that we've seen Mayo play in the preseason, is he likely to remain primary play caller and the green dog guy?
Yes.
Bill, how would you characterize the versatility of the secondary? Obviously, a lot of moving parts there, a lot of
transition. How would you characterize safety corners and their versatility going into the year?
Well, I mean, we don't have a lot of guys that are safeties that are playing corner or corner that are playing safeties. The corners are corners, and we've had several different guys play the inside positions as well as the outside positions, and at safety, like we talked about the other day, I mean, everybody's safety's a safety, you know, in our system. I mean, it changed by game plan, but you have to know what to do on the strong side of the formation, the weak side of the formation, on the tight end side, on the open side, on the slot side, so that's all. There's hopefully everybody can do that. I hope they can do it. We worked on it. I mean, they practice it, so see how it goes, but I hope they can do it.
Kind of on that topic, what went into the release of Darren
Sproul? We've made the decision we felt was best for the football team. Try to put together the most competitive team we can. I mean, obviously there's players that aren't on this team that are, you know, they're good players, and they were good players for us, and I'm sure they'll play for somebody else. But we have to make the decisions that we feel are best for our football team, so that's what we do.
Corners have gotten bigger, it seems, over the last couple of years. I mean, now it's a pretty big group, averages like 6 foot and 200 pounds or something like that. Is that a reaction to some of maybe the bigger receivers in the NFL or that you see on schedule or anything?
I think it's a combination of things. It's a combination of what we're playing, what we're seeing, the kicking game, so, you know, all those things.
Does it sting more, Bill, when a player who you drafted highly, is one that you end up having to part ways with as opposed to a guy who's signed undrafted?
You know, we have a saying around here, it doesn't matter how you get here, it's what you do here. I think that's really what... I think that's the way I think we should coach the team, and I think that's what the players expect, and that goes for everybody. So, nobody's on a scholarship. Everybody's got to earn their keep. It's a competitive situation. I think that brings out the best in everybody. Brings out the best in, you know, guys that are maybe established that they're being pushed. It brings out the best from guys who aren't established who know they have an opportunity, and so. Competition's competition. That's just basing on what the performance is. All that's decided on the field.
Bill, have you had any contact with Randy Moss or entertained as far as about bringing him back at any point?
Yeah, I wouldn't talk about any player that's not on our football team.
With regards to leadership, have you ever gone to a player, usually that sort of develops organically, but have you ever gone to a player maybe that was quiet but you thought could be, or was someone who was respecting the locker room, to say, be more vocal, step up a little bit more, maybe take a little bit more on your plate?
I think we go to players all the time and tell them what we want them to do. Tell them if they're doing something well, we try to reinforce that and tell them, look, you're doing a good job at this. You know, this is exactly the way we want it done. Keep doing this. This is something you need to improve on. Here's how we want it done. This is something that you could do better. Sometimes we do that to more than one person. Call them in collectively and say, look, here's something with you guys that's good, or here's something that isn't so good. And I think that's what coaching is to try to improve your team, improve your players, coach them, both individually and collectively, in all areas, whatever it happens to be, on the field, techniques, off the field, preparation, in a weight room, special teams, you know, you name it. So that's all part of coaching, is to try to help your players perform better. And I think if you can help a player perform better, then they usually respect you, because they can see that you're doing something that is beneficial for them. So we try to coach them the best we can in all phases of the game. Whenever they schedule them, we play them. All right. Great. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. There you. And I'm so glad that he
it is what it is
addressed the Randy Moss situation right away. I mean, you know, I've learned never to say never with this organization, but that would be a big surprise. I mean, that's not to say it couldn't happen later on down the road. Randy says he's in great shape, but I just don't see it happening early on. I just don't. Anyway, it's the Pete Shepherd Show here till 6 o'clock tonight. Here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, right here broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. That is how you reach me. Lots to get to. Some emails. Let's start on the web radio side here. Gene in Daytona says, Daytona Beach says, hey, Pete, call me crazy, but I just have a feeling if Stephen Ridley gets into the game, he will take it over. I don't think Tony Sperano is even considering the Patriots running game, but I feel Ridley will wear down the Dolphins defense early in the game. Tom will take over in the middle of the game after the defense is winded, and then Ridley will kill the clock. I watched Ridley in the SEC games here in Florida a lot, and there is something about his determination. Thanks, Pete, for being on Extra Days. We all appreciate you, Gene, in Daytona Beach. Gene, I know you're an SEC fan. I understand. Ridley, you know, I understand you saw him play at Arkansas and all that stuff, but here's where I just don't think in week one, call me crazy, Gene, call me crazy. I don't think you're going to see him get a whole bunch of touches unless somebody gets hurt. I'm not saying in the near future he may not be the man, maybe the greatest running back to ever play the game. I don't know. But I can tell you this. I think Tony Sperano will be concerned about the Patriots running game. I think any head coach would have to consider Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead, considering the damage that they inflicted last year with this unbelievable passing game. Now, is that Gail Sayers and Brian Piccolo back there? No. But, I mean, they are cause for concern for any defensive coordinator. There's no question about it. They don't turn the ball over a lot, those two. They gain significant yardage. Danny seems to get 5 or 6 yards every time he touches the ball. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis scores touchdowns. So, I just don't, trust me, look, I guess anything's possible. I just don't see, I don't see Ridley getting a whole lot of touches in this game. But, you know, stranger things have happened. But I think they're going to go with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead out of the chute here. And, I think they have a pretty good track record from last year. Another question. Let's see. Lucas says, what up, Pete? I was a bit surprised at learning Warren was released just this morning. But I have a feeling he's coming back right after the Finns game. Yes, we talked about that. I agree with you there. I'm here to discuss Ninkovich. He's been here for a while and knows the schemes well, and I believe he could have a real good season. I mean, he looks just like Mike Vrabel. Same face, even height, grows a beard. His first name is abbreviated to Rob, as like it is for Mike. Eastern European last name, wears number 50, an outside linebacker. Seen through that angle, he's just so like Mike Vrabel. But anyways, last season he recorded 38 tackles and 4 sacks. I feel this season he can reach 50 tackles and 8 sacks, especially when you take into consideration what he has up front with him this year compared to what he had last year. And remember, Vrabel only emerged in his 28th year with the Patriots as a football player, so I'm pretty sure he's going to develop into a big defensive element. How do you feel about that? Keep up the great work. Brubra. Okay. I think Rob Ninkovich, had probably the best game of his career in Miami last year. In that game, he had 2 picks. I forget if he ran one back for a touchdown or not. He was just phenomenal last year. And I do think he's one of those guys that, I think it's a pretty fair comparison when you compare him to Vrabel. I don't think he's there yet, but I understand where you're going with that. I certainly do. I like Ninkovich a lot. And I think he does a lot of good things out there. I think he does well in cover. And, he tackles well for the most part. I think he does a great job. So I like him a lot. And I do see some of the comparisons that you mean with Mike Vrabel. I don't think he's there yet. Maybe he will be when it's all said and done. But I like him a lot. I'm more interested in the linebacker this year to see Brandon Spikes. I want to see Brandon Spikes take it up to that next level. Because certainly he has the talent. So, again, that's just another thing to watch. I'll be watching much more of how the defense plays on Monday night than the offense. I'm not really all that concerned about the offense. I understand Miami could do some different things. And a guy like Cameron Wake could scare the bejesus out of anybody, because a guy can change you know, if you don't pay attention to him, he can do some major damage. So whether it's Matt Light or Nate Solder, they're going to have their work cut out for them on that side of the field come Monday night. Going back to some other messages on Facebook, Santiago says, hey, Pete, thanks for all. Your show is the most interesting NFL show in the world. Do you think we can beat the Jets twice this year? Thanks, Pete. Hope you answer me. You're Mexico's number one fan always. Well, thank you, Santiago. Do I think they can beat the Jets twice this year? Not only do I hope they beat the Jets twice this year, I mean, I want more than 45-3. I want 185-3. No, I mean, look, the Jets are a very good team. They're going to be very competitive. It's, you know, they'll go as far as Sanchez takes them. And like I said, you know, on paper, at least initially, I'm not sure the Jets are as good a team as they were last year, but, you know, really what happens on paper really doesn't really mean all that much, you know. But look, you know, worst case scenario, you know, I think most people probably would pick a split in that series, but, you know, I just don't know. You know, they play week 9 here first. On October 9th here at Gillette at 4:15. That's the first time they play. So we'll see. And I think that will be, everybody will be looking forward to that game, me especially. Can't wait for that one. Mark says on Facebook, hey, Pete, I'm in the military, currently stationed in Philly, and want to tell you you're a breath of fresh air because all they talk about is the Eagles' dream team crap around here. It sounds like they're sliding Waters into Connolly's spot at right guard, but I was wondering what that means for Dano once he returns back to full health from his ankle injury. It's scary to think what Law Firm and Woodhead will be able to do with Mankins and Waters on the blocking out there blocking for him. Thanks for everything you do, Shep. You demand. Thanks a lot, Mark. I really appreciate the kind words. Well, no, I agree with you. I mean, all it means is, you know, when Dan Connolly comes back, is that they'll just have more depth. You know, depending on how Waters is playing, and maybe they, you know, they use a lot of people. Will they rotate guys in? Possibly. I mean, Brian Waters is a pretty established All-Pro, so right now he's going to be the man in that spot. I mean, Dan Connolly's overall done very well. So it'll be an interesting, you know, well, they'll cross that bridge when they come to it. As you hear the cliche all the time, a lot of time in sports is those things have a way of working themselves out. Mainly, someone gets nicked up or banged up or whatever, but it's a good problem to have for Bill Belichick. Two competent offensive linemen and one great one in Brian Waters, and Dan Connolly, an up-and-coming, you know, does very well. And who could ever forget that incredible race to the goal line last year against Green Bay, which was just unbelievable. And that was like the fumble, and he returned it, 70-something yards. Kev, if I remember correctly, it was like 70 yards last year. That was just, it was a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah, that Green Bay game.
It was a beautiful thing
to
watch.
That was a tight game, so it was a big play.
Yeah, it was a tight game. Jeffrey says, listening in South Carolina, Pete, you sound great. Do you think the Pats will sign sharper with the recent releases? And I'm assuming you mean Darren Sharper. I suppose anything's possible. I mean, he was a great player at one point. I mean, released. I mean, great player for the Packers, Saints, Minnesota. And but he's had I'm just looking up what happened last year. He had arthroscopic surgery in his left knee during the offseason and then last year. No, I don't know. I suppose anything's possible. I know they had him in here earlier this year, right, for a workout, and for whatever reason, he's not here right now. But you know what? Again, never say never. I don't know what the guy has left in the tank. I think if he has something left in the tank, he might be here already, but that's not the case. So right now, Mr. Sharper is out there in waiting. Garrett says, hey, Pete, do you see any veteran safety free agents out there that the Pats could bring in? Love the show. Thanks. Well, again, Garrett, right now, after week one, when salaries aren't guaranteed after next week, maybe things might change. Right now, going into Monday night's game, I think this is the roster they're going with. I mean, this is what you're going to deal with. They're going to deal with Patrick Chung, Josh Barrett, Sergio Brown, and James Adetobo. Will be out there as well. You're going to have Rozay Dowling, Kyle Arrington, Devin McCourty, Molden, and Lee Bodden. And that's what you got. You got Gronkowski, who's been added. A.J. Eads has been added at linebacker. And like I said, I was telling John earlier today, I was doing some research on A.J. Eads and some comments and everything else. And again, I'm not comparing him to Danny Woodhead, but I'm saying it's possible the Patriots might have gotten themselves a steal here with this guy. Because things I've read from media people, and seemed to be a pretty big fan favorite, even though he was on practice squad last year, he got hurt. But a lot of people think that if this guy got dealt to a team in the AFC East, that he would come back to bite Miami in the butt. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to go out there and pick off passes and have 10,000 sacks. But, you know, I remember last year when I said, in Woodhead, you get to see on Hard Knocks. I haven't seen each play that I can remember this year. I can't remember any play in any preseason game where I've seen him singled out. But, you know, I don't sit there and focus on Miami preseason games, too. The one or two maybe that have been on NFL Network. So I don't know. I don't have any film on the guy. But just going by what I've read, this might end up being another steal for Belichick like Danny Woodhead. Possibly. I'm just going by what I've read. You know, I haven't seen the guy play all that much, but he certainly seems to be like one of those guys. Not many people knew about Danny Woodhead unless you watched Hard Knocks last year. And that's why when I saw him play, and I kept saying to myself, even before Rex cut him, I was like, God, if the Patriots ever get a guy like this, I knew he would fit in here. But I can't say that about A.J. Eads because I haven't seen him at all play, so I don't know. But just going by, again, what I've read and from media and fans, they seem to think a lot of people were disappointed that he's not there. All right, broadcasting live, our Subway Press broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. It's the Pete Shepherd Show right here on Patriots.com. Call me at 508-298-0398, 508-298-0358, or 0398, I should say, 298-0398. And, of course, you can email me, webradio at patriots.com. And you can Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Don't forget, coming up at the bottom of the hour, I hold the Miami Herald's Jeff Donaldson on the line with me at around 5:30 or so. We'll talk about the Patriots of Miami once again. And that and a whole lot more. It's the Pete Shepherd Show until 6 p.m. right here on patriots.com.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the pads are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts. Grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
And pump, baby. Welcome to hour number two here at the Pete Shepherd Show. Man, does that give you goosebumps or what? I feel like running through a tunnel or something like that, like Rudy. Yeah, whatever. Run through a tunnel out here across the way, go into a giant puddle, I'll tell you that. It just sucks outside. Anyway, how are we doing? Back hour number two here at the Pete Shepherd Show, patriots.com, 508-298-0398. That's the number, 508-298-0398. We're broadcasting live from our Subway French Broadcast Studios here inside Gillette Stadium. Fancy that. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook me. Facebook me, Pete Shepherd. That's PETESHEPPARD. Coming up, bottom of the hour. A legendary writer from the Miami Herald, Jeff Darlingston, will join me at 5:30. We talk about the Patriots in Miami once again and see what he thinks about. Boy, there's a lot of talk about Chad Henne, about how confident he is. And let me just get to a couple of these mail radios real quick. Joshua from a very prestigious law firm in Washington, D.C. says, Pete, correction on Conley, it was a squib kick. Yes, you are correct. It was a squib kick. I apologize for that. I pride myself on my memory for a lot of these games, a lot of plays, but you're right. That absolutely right. It was right. It was a squib kick. It was still a beautiful thing by Mr. Conley running down, all the way. It was just, fantastic. Again, webradio@patriots.com is the number. Webradio@patriots.com. And, there you go. Again, Facebook me as well. Pete Shepherd. PETESHEPPARD. PETESHEPPARD. If you want to Facebook me, I'll check my Twitter stuff too, as well. What else we got here? Let's see. As I go down my Facebook page here, it says people like all over the country. It's just amazing to me how many Patriot fans there are all over the country, all over the world for that matter. But anyway. What concerns you most? What are you going to be watching for most, you guys and girls, come Monday night? You know, I've told you what I think. I'm interested, obviously, in the pass rush and how the secondary can gel here. I got to tell you, I'm a tad concerned about Lee Bodden because he hasn't had a lot of playing time in the preseason. I'm not all that concerned about Devin McCourty. I always have concerns about Kyle Arrington. Sometimes he does some really good things, and other times he doesn't. Wazzy, darling. Haven't seen a whole heck of a lot of, well, I mean, the preseason, but I mean, you know, you don't know an actual gameplay. Patrick Young, I think, is on the verge of becoming a star in this league. I think he's a, you know, he's definitely up and coming. There's no question about it. I love his game. Josh Barrett, hopefully he can stay healthy. Sergio Brown, the glimpses I've seen of him, pretty good. They hit a bow, you know, probably more. Special teams guy. Not sure you're going to see much of him out there. It all depends on, again, Chad Henne. I just don't, you know, he kind of sucks, to be honest with you. You know, but I've also seen him have some pretty good games. But he's one of those guys that always is, you know, he's on the cusp of, it always seems like he's on the cusp of breaking out and becoming not an upper echelon quarterback or an elite quarterback or anything like that. But you scratch your head sometimes with some of the decisions he makes, because he always seems to have Miami in a lot of these games, with the exception of the Patriots games last year. But and then he just throws a bad pick or something disastrous happens. He makes a bad read. But it does concern me a little bit from a Patriots standpoint that this game is being played in Miami on opening night with that heat and humidity. I just, you know, I just throw all the numbers and all. I mean, I know talent. It looks like on paper the Patriots can win the game by 50. That's not going to be the case. I would be stunned if it's any kind of blowout like it was last year in both games. Now, the end of the season, Miami up here on New Year's Day, different story. I mean, that could end up being disastrous. And, you know, that's not a good thing, Miami coming up here in the cold the last game of the year. However, I am concerned opening night going down there, because you just don't know what to expect right out of the gate. And we've seen the Patriots. Remember a couple? I mean, we've seen the Patriots at home on opening night against Buffalo a few years ago. Remember? I mean, they were big favorites in that game and barely won that one, 25-24 down the stretch. Late turnover there that helped them win that game. That was disastrous. So I mean, it's just opening night. I throw out all the numbers and the talent and everything else, because on paper the Patriots look like they should win by a lot, but I know better. I've seen it too many times, too many division rounds, and I'm saying that about a lot of teams. I'm just looking forward to, I mean, the NFL schedule, and I'm really looking forward. And, you know, I hate the freaking Jets. I hate them with a passion. And I don't care who knows it or how unprofessional some people may say it sounds, I freaking hate the Jets. They can't lose by enough. You know, I don't want to see anybody hurt or anything, but I want Dallas to win 72-0 on Sunday night. I'll be the biggest Cowboy suck-up fan in the world, but I expect a very competitive game. That's one game I'm really looking forward to, is that game on Sunday night. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night's game as well. That's going to be one hell of a game. And I will tell you this, my preseason pick, I mean, again, I'm going to go over my picks tomorrow. Thursday when we do, and Brian Lowe will be with me, we'll go through the fantasy football stuff a little bit. And then the second hour, or whenever we do it, last half hour, I'll go through who I think is going to win the division and all that stuff. And I'll tell you my preseason Super Bowl pick right now. And again, it's all subject to change because of injuries and all that stuff. But I'm picking the Patriots and New Orleans in the Super Bowl. That's my preseason pick. That's all. Last year I picked the Patriots and the Packers in the Super Bowl. It's half right. You know, almost pulled it off, but not quite, stupid Jets. Anyway, Facebook me, Pete Shepard, and you can email me webradio@patriots.com. Sean says, Pete, welcome back to patriots.com radio. I'm a little upset at the release of Gerard Warren. I would have released Mark Anderson before Warren. What you think? Well, Sean, I was shocked as well about Gerard Warren. But like I said, I think he's probably going to be back in the next week or two once salaries aren't guaranteed after week one. So I think you're going to see him back at some point. I really do. And I think if you just heard Bill Belichick talk about it, you'll see that I think he feels the same way. He didn't come out and necessarily say he's coming back. But he didn't, you know, say it was going to he didn't say it was not an impossibility either. So, I mean, this has happened a lot of times before. It happens everywhere in the NFL. Okay, just to be annoying, last game of the year is actually Buffalo on New Year's Day. The Miami game in Foxborough is on Christmas Eve. Well, you're right. That's right. That's right. I forgot which you flip-flopped. Thank you, Josh. Again, attorney at law down in Washington, D.C. You're right. Either way, and that, you know, it's going to be interesting because, I mean, last time the Patriots played Christmas Eve and New Year's Day was back, and a few years ago, I remember doing the post game shows, and it was against Tennessee was one of them. I mean, they won both games. They won both games, and one of them is a game where Rodney Harrison got hurt. And the other game that year, who the hell? Oh, Jacksonville. It was Jacksonville and Tennessee back to back. I think Jacksonville was on Christmas Eve, and then Tennessee was on New Year's Day. Now I think the Jacksonville game is the one where Rodney got hurt. If I remember correctly, that was a brutal physical game. I think both games, if I remember, were a little high scoring than most people thought. But Buffalo on New Year's Day. That'll be an interesting crowd, Kev. That'll be an interesting crowd. More so, the Miami game in Foxborough is on Christmas Eve, which is another interesting game. Now, the good thing, at least that's a 1 o'clock game. Now, that's just, you know, the price you pay in the NFL for being successful, as most of you know, is you have a lot of, you know, national games. And the Patriots do not have a lot of 1 o'clock games this year. And they certainly only have one at home. Or two, these last two at home, I should say. But it happened to be on Christmas Eve and New Year's Day. So, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of 4 o'clock, most of the games here at 4:15 or at night. I know a lot of people don't like it, but that is the price, unfortunately, that you pay with success. And there are so many good matchups the Patriots are going to have this year. Should be, anyway. At least at the start of the season. I mean, things always change. Herb on Facebook says, how many sacks will Albert Haynesworth register this season? Great show, Pete. You always get me pumped for the Pats. Herb, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm hoping he can stay in for three consecutive plays. Let's start there. I mean, I think he'll have an impact. I really do. I know you got your Felgers out there. You know, he's a big, fat idiot out of shape and all that stuff and everything else. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But I think initially he's going to make some kind of an impact on this team. And he's not going to have to play, you know, every single down. But I think it's going to be interesting what he does, what Carter does, Will Fork, and Mike Wright. You know, that front four. We'll see how much 4-3 they actually do play. A standard 4-3. You know, because we saw last year in the 3-4, they played a standard 3-4, base 3-4, about 39 to 41% of the time. So, you're just going to see a lot of different formations. A lot of different formations from the Patriots. And I think you're going to see some different formations from Miami as well. So, we'll look forward to that. And again, what concerns you guys most about, or what will you be focusing on more than anything? Will it be the pass rush? Will it be the secondary? I don't think a lot of people are going to be going crazy about the offense, with the exception of Ocho Cinco. And again, I would not go blow a gasket or get crazy or start talking about cutting the guy if he drops one ball or doesn't get a lot of catches or doesn't do this or doesn't do that. Because he is just one link in the chain here. They to me, and I love to use these two words, wrecking machine, but that's what their offense is going to be. I don't know how Miami stops the two tight end. I don't know how Hernandez and Gronkowski get stopped. And Wes Welker, they never stop. Again, not going on all these trends, but my goodness, the numbers are there. Let me give you some Patriot Miami numbers for those of you who don't know. Just stuff I've dug up the last few days, and some of you may know some of these, some of you don't. Patriots, of course, won in Miami last year, 41-14 in early October. That was a big special team coming out party for Patrick Chung and Rob Ninkovich were outstanding in that game on defense. Then the Patriots wout Miami and Foxborough 38-7. No surprise there. So they outscored 79-21 in the two games last year. Patriots 3-3 versus Miami in season openers. Since 2001, Patriots 48-14. That's a nearly .775 winning percentage in the AFC East. The Patriots have won 7 of the last 10 against Miami. They are 13-33 all-time in Miami, however. 5-5 in Monday Night Football versus Miami. And by the way, 9 of those Monday Night Football games have been in Miami. 9 of them. 9 of them. Now, a lot of that was due because back in the day, Monday Night games weren't allowed in Foxborough. If you can believe that, way back in the day, the 80s. Bill Belichick, 13-9 versus Miami. And Welker has killed Miami in the past. 55 catches, 683 yards, 2 touchdowns in 7 games. So, you know, he's averaging like 90-plus yards a game. Brady is 12-6 versus Miami. Patriots are 19-22 all-time on Monday Night Football. 12-5, however, under Bill Belichick. And I know I think I brought this up last year, but, you know, I'm 44 years old, so I'm older than some, not as old as others. But, you know, I still remember the Miami. The Patriots had one time had such an atrocious record on Monday Night Football. I think I brought it up last year, but it bears repeating because, you know, Lynn Dickey was a starting quarterback for the Packers one. I think the Patriots are favored by like 13 points, and they got beat by like 15 points. Forget it. Lynn Dickey. And that's when the Packers were real bad. But my, how times have changed. So that's just a few little tidbits out there regarding the Patriots in Miami. And certainly we've seen, I remember the Patriots, they won one of the years they won the Super Bowl, 03 or 04. The last game in Miami was that debacle where they had a double-digit lead and ended up, you know, fumbling the ball away. Brady had a bad second half, bad fourth quarter. So things can happen. So I think it's going to be a very interesting opening game on Monday night down in Miami. I don't expect the kind of scores you saw last year. And even last year, that first game again in Miami, I think the Patriots were down at halftime. I think it was like 10-9 or whatever it was. If they were ahead, but it was only by a point, or they were down by a point at halftime. I have to go back and look it up. But they took over in the second half. So if you're thinking 41-14 like it was last year, I would not go that far. I suppose it could happen. The Patriots certainly have the offensive talent to put up those kind of numbers. And certainly if they rattle Chad Henne, you know, it could get ugly quick. And that, you know, that's the other thing. I think if you're the Patriots, is get to him quickly. I think if you put Miami, if you put them in a hole, Miami gets down 10-0 in this game, I think they're toast. That's the problem for them. You know, the Patriots get down, God forbid, 10-0, 13-0, 14-0. They have the tools to come back. I wouldn't be too worried about that. If there's some fluky kind of a turnover, a fumble kickoff or something, and they're down by 10 points or 13 points or 2 touchdowns early, the Patriots have the talent to overcome it. I don't think Miami does. So the Patriots can jump out to a lead here in the first quarter. I think Miami's dead meat. But, you know, and I don't mean jumping out to a 7-0 lead. I'm talking about to jump out to like a 10-0, 14-0 lead. I think it's going to be very difficult for the Dolphins to overcome. Oh. Thank you, Flipper. Thank you. What's that new movie coming out, Dolphin Tale, with Morgan Freeman? Glorified Flipper movies. That's based on a true story? I don't know. Get to my movie reviews later. That's what the other thing I've done this year is I've seen a ton of movies.
It's funny you mention that because Andy Hart of PFW is going off on a tangent today about how he wants to see that so bad.
Why does Andy not like Seinfeld?
I don't know.
Who doesn't like Seinfeld?
I don't know. He has, and him and Paul get into fights.
Well, I know, and Paul had a great line. Yeah, I meant to tell him. Yeah, Paul, it's one of the greatest shows, greatest comedy ever made. All in the Family, second, Seinfeld first. But the,
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
That's my favorite Paul drop.
But Paul said, he goes, love the Drake. It went right over Andy's head yesterday. Right
Even
over his
I
head.
I get that, and I'm younger than Andy.
Right over his head.
He claims it's like a generational thing between him and Paul.
It's but not a generational thing.
I go to bat because I'm probably 7-8 years younger than Andy, and I grew up watching all the reruns. So, whatever.
You know,
he's just lame. That's what it is. I'd rather watch dolphins swim around.
He wants to watch the Morgan Freeman movie.
He started making reference to those like ABC Family movies, and I was like, dude,
oh my god,
you?
Like those after school specials I used to watch in the 70s. Like my mom's. You want to see something funny? Go Google like my mom's having a baby. Back from I was like 1975 that came out. I remember that was like ABC used to run these stupid, not stupid. They were actually educational. These after school specials about these theme, you know, drama, you know, it had to do with drugs or pregnancy. They showed a live pregnancy. They showed that, not live. They showed the pregnancy on television. My mom's having a baby. You want to talk? I mean, now, no one would care. But back then, like in the mid-70s, when that was on, at 3:30 in the afternoon, people lost their freaking minds. How do you not like Seinfeld?
You're giving me flashbacks to this class I took in college where you had to watch a live birth. On those disgusting.
It's not pretty.
We all went running out.
It's a beautiful. I suppose if it's your own child, I don't have children. If it's your own child, I'm sure it's the most beautiful thing on the planet. I know for me, I'd pass out. So, to all the women out there who have given birth, God bless you, because it's unbelievable. Got to be the hardest thing to do in life. Got to be the hardest thing to do. Anyway. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398, that is the number, here to get in touch with me. You can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, and we're broadcasting live at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me, webradio@patriots.com as well. Oh, my laptop today is really slow. I don't know what's going on here. Really slow. Not the web radio one, but my own laptop over here. Pete, wasn't injured to Harrison on December 31st against Tennessee, not Jacksonville. That's what I said. I know it was either Tennessee or Jacksonville. I couldn't remember which one. They played back-to-back weeks. I thought it was the incident involving the cheap shot. Yes, it was. So the knees where Fisher was celebrating in the sideline with players. Yes. What an a-hole. I miss Rodney. Yes, you're right. Now that you bring that up, yes. I knew it was either Jacksonville or Tennessee. I couldn't remember which game it was that they played back-to-back that year. Bottom line for the game on Monday night, Henny sucks. They can't make enough plays to beat the Patriots on offense. Patriots would have to shoot themselves in the foot with a bunch of dumb turnovers to lose. Keep the Dolphins soundbite coming. It's a great one. Well, I tend to agree with Henny. I mean, I think he's a mediocre to below average quarterback at best. But they do have some, you know, they got a new weapon in Reggie Bush this year. It's opening game in Miami. You know, again, the Patriots and the secondary, you know, if they can get a pretty good pass rush here, they might be able to disguise some issues that they might have. I'm not saying that Chung and Barrett won't gel and that, you know, McCourty and Bodden. You know, McCourty, I have no problem with Bodden. I don't know. Does anybody know? Does anybody feel like 100% confident that Lee Bodden's going to be able to shut everybody down or at least play a real solid game? I hope he can. I don't know. I have more confidence in Devin McCourty. I mean, I think Kyle Arrington has improved somewhat, but there's still some question marks with him. You know, I want to see Brandon Spikes be a little more active this year. I think he's got the athletic talent to really make an impact. Patrick Chung, I know, will. I mean, Josh Barrett, you know, hopefully can. Sergio Brown, seen flashes. I mean, they're young guys. I mean, Sergio's a young guy, so we'll see. I know on paper it looks like 56-10 Patriots. I'm telling you, I will be stunned if it's more than a two touchdown win for the Patriots. And I think it'll be close to the end before they pull away. Now, like I said, it's not to say in another scenario, if Miami screws up early, if the Patriots jump out to a double-digit lead here, I think they're done. Then it could get really ugly. But like I said, I've just seen it too many times before early in the season in Miami, and good things have not happened to the Patriots down there early on in the season. I know every season is a different season. I agree. I understand that. But this is one of those places where it's been awful at times. Just awful. So we shall see. Again, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll have Jeff Donaldson for the Miami Herald at 5:30. And maybe he can shed some more light on Chad Henne and what he's had to go through this year. And it's really, you got to feel for the guy a little bit because of, I mean, he almost got booed off the field. I know his wife was upset at times. I was reading something recently where David Woodley, he was passed away now, but I remember his wife punched a fan back in the day because she got so upset he was being booed. And that was when Woodley and Don Strock were going back and forth. It seemed like they both played every single game for a while. But, I mean, you just got to shut that stuff out. But, I mean, you know, Chad, he booed off the practice field. I mean, they really wanted Kyle Orton early on. And maybe they still give David Garrard a look coming up. I would imagine they'd have to. But you never know. So, again, email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. I'm having a little problem right now on my Facebook page on my own laptop because I don't know why. It's just jammed. But we'll see if we can unjam that coming up in just a little bit. But what concerns you most? What are you going to be watching most tomorrow? Oh, it's tomorrow. On Monday. Tomorrow I'll be watching New Orleans and Green Bay. Now, what concerns do you guys have about this team? I think most people will say it's on defense. Like I said, I am not worried about Chad Ochocinco yet. I mean, I got to give him, and I won't worry about him in 2 weeks either. He's a guy I want to see in 4 weeks because they have so many weapons on this team. Just the threat of him being out there might be enough. And Gronkowski as well. You know, they put that double tight end formation out there with him and Hernandez, and you still got Welker and Branch. People concerned about Deion Branch. Again, preseason, no catches. Eh. You know, Randy Moss didn't play in 2007 either. I just don't put a lot of stock in that stuff. I really don't put a whole hell of a lot in preseason. You know, the Patriots went 4-0 one preseason, went 1-15 that year. Other teams have done the same thing. Go 1-4, win the Super Bowl, 1-3. I mean, the preseason just doesn't faze me one bit. I don't get too high or too low about it. I mean, I know there were times in the first two preseason games this year we all got a little bit overexcited to a degree because of the pass rush that we saw. And then we didn't see it. I mean, the fourth game, you just throw that out. That meant nothing against the Giants. The third game against Detroit, where obviously the Lions were playing that game like it was their Super Bowl, and the Patriots just, you know, didn't show a lot of emotion there. So, which is a little disturbing to see on a game three of the preseason, because that's the one where you'd like to see your team give a, you know, that's the one where most of the starters play at least three quarters. But they just didn't look good that night, and Detroit, you know, just came out firing. And many people think it's going to be Detroit's year to sneak in as a wild card, and I have to wait and see. I have to wait and see. Email me at webradio@patriots.com. Call me, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Going to take a quick break, Kev, and then when we come back, we will hook up live from Miami with Jeff Donaldson of the Miami Herald. All part of the Pete Shepard Show until 6 p.m. right here on Patriots.com.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the paths are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
We are back here in the Pete Shepherd Show, final half hour here on Patriots.com for a Wednesday. We're broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. And right now joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline is the one and only Jeff Darlington from Miami Herald. Hi, Jeff. Pete Shepherd, thanks for taking a few minutes this afternoon. How you doing?
What's going on, Pete? Thanks for having me on, man.
My pleasure. So what? Let me ask you this. What is the psyche of Chad Henne right now?
Yeah, you know, I think that keep in mind, first of all, that I've been sort of one of the remaining few people who think that he can be a solid starter in the NFL, but I think his psyche is in the right place for sure. And you know, the two things that have always kind of kept me a little bit hesitant about whether he could succeed is his leadership ability, which he seems to have kind of, you know, developed over this lockout. And the other thing being the fact that the Dolphins have not really done a great job of developing him. And I think that the new offense under offense coordinator Brian Daboll has started to allow him a little bit more freedom. It seems at this point the handcuffs are off. And as a result, it looks like Henne is going to get the best opportunity to date to actually succeed.
Well, we know, you know, Daboll has a connection with the Patriots. We also saw what Daboll did last year with Cleveland with Colt McCoy. You know, pretty good, you know, what we saw. I mean, he seemed to develop nicely. So, and, you know, a guy like Reggie Bush, probably the way he likes to check down should be able to help him as well, yeah. I would think.
Yeah, you know, you hear a lot about touchdown check down.
Yeah.
That's Brad's goal this year, or Chad's goal this year. It's you know, now he's taking a lot of slack, check down Chad. You know, people are getting on him about that whole deal. But, you know, I think that having a guy like Reggie Bush there to open things up if the deep route isn't available is not such a bad thing, especially when you consider that Devon Bess is the other option aside from Reggie Bush. So two players with some real ability there, finally a little bit of speed on the offense. You know, I think there's definitely a lot of questions surrounding this unit, but the Dolphins did their best to answer a lot of those. Still some out there, though, that we're going to need to see before we can say anything more.
And you know, I think most people up here, all, you know, follow the AFC East very closely, and they realize, you know, Chad, you know, booted off the field in the preseason and that stuff where preseason practice, where they didn't, when they found out that the Kyle Orton deal kind of fell through. I think a lot of Dolphin fans were counting on him. I was quite frankly shocked that he didn't end up there, but you know, it's going to be an interesting season for him. Is he on? You think he's on any kind of a short leash?
Well, you know what? I would say yes if they had anybody behind him capable of being better. But, you know, the fact that they weren't able to bring in a veteran other than Matt Moore to really, you know, basically challenge Chad, which Madden War has not done to this point. I don't think that there is any ability to have that short leash. I mean, I think that Chad is going to get every opportunity to succeed. And really, I mean, you know, you have a defense that ranked sixth in the league last year, bringing back 10 of 11 starters. But Chad is going to have to do enough to give that defensive unit a chance to win. So it's, the season really is going to fall on whether Chad Henne succeed. And you know, really, I think Tony Sperano's tenure as this coach is going to rise or fall depending on Chad Henne's success this season.
If they struggle a little bit out of the gate, if Miami does, did they look at David Garrard at all, you think? Is that a possibility?
I don't know. I think that, first of all, I think that he'll probably be on a roster by then. I don't know exactly how it's going to work, whether people are going to veer away from him until after week one. But, you know, I think that they'll definitely do their homework on Garrard. I mean, you've got to look at him. You've got to look at any quarterback option, to see if he's going to be better than Matt Moore. I mean, they can bring on a third quarterback now without any trouble. They only have two on the roster. So I think they'll definitely look at Garrard. Whether they have enough conviction about him, more so than another team out there, that'll probably tell the tale a little bit there. But, you know, right now, I definitely think that they're going into the season thinking Chad Henne will be their guy.
You know, no Ronnie Brown, no Ricky Williams, a complete different look in the backfield for the Dolphins this year. How do you see the running game against the Patriots coming up?
A very different look. And really, I'm still of the belief that this running game will succeed or fail based on what the offensive line does. The line to this point has been pretty dismal, especially on the right side. They've moved Vernon Carey to right guard.
Yeah.
They have Mark Colombo at right tackle. Yeah,
he was awful last year.
Yeah, and you know what? He hasn't really done anything this year either.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand the level of conviction in Mark Colombo based on what he did in Dallas last year and really what he's done to this point in the preseason. So I don't know how you can expect Reggie Bush to do something he's never succeeded at doing, which is running between the tackles, when you are asking him to do it behind an offensive line that I'm not sure at this point could block properly for Adrian Peterson. I mean, I just don't see enough from the right side of the line at this point to expect a whole lot out of this running game right away. They need to improve there if they're going to have any kind of running success at all.
Do you expect him to get like 20-plus touches? I mean, not combined catching the ball, but 20-plus carries on Monday night?
You know, that's the plan. That has been what Tony Sperano has said and what Reggie Bush has expected all through training camp, that this guy will have more carries than anybody else on the team. And I don't think that they're going to have 15, 20 carries between the tackles, but I think they're definitely going to try to find ways to get him the ball as often as possible. And, you know, considering that Reggie Bush has averaged 8.7 carries per game throughout his career, this is going to be a very different deal, something he, like I said, has never succeeded at to this point. But it looks, by all means, that he's going to get the opportunity.
Well, there are intangibles here, though, and as you know, covering this team and myself following the Patriots for my whole adult life, I'm 44 years old, and I've been through the losing. I throw out statistics when it comes to playing this team at that stadium in your state on Monday night, opening night, because too many crazy, goofy, stupid things have happened over the years that I've seen. In that stadium when these two teams play. I know the Patriots have had their number as of late, but I throw it all away because, I don't know, crazy things happen in that humidity on opening night.
I agree completely. This team in general, I expect a little bit of craziness from. I mean, ProFootballTalk.com having, you know, got a little Florio, but 29th in the league, the Dolphins coming into this thing. I know Mike and Mike were blasting the Dolphins. Nationally speaking, I think that there's been very little respect for the Dolphins, but I'd imagine that the people up there in New England probably are a little bit more hesitant to disrespect Miami at this point because they are a little bit, I mean, they are bringing back 10 of 11 starters on a six-ranked defense. You know, they do have Brandon Marshall and Reggie Bush and Devon Best. You know, I think it really comes down to a lot of the ifs that exist, a lot of these questions that exist, if these rookies can have an impact, if the offensive line can get itself together, if Reggie Bush can do something he's never done, this team can actually do something that that a lot of national analysts right now don't expect them to, and to this point we haven't been able to see it, but Monday night I think we'll definitely see a little bit more.
Well, from a Patriots standpoint, the fans up here are looking at, you know, trying to develop a pass rush playing in the 4-3 this year. And again, I don't put a lot of stock in that either because they had a base 3-4 last year. They only played in it 39-40% of the time. So you're gonna, I think both sides are going to see a lot of different formations. However, you know, the Patriots, they don't have Sanders. They don't have Merriweather, as you know. They've had Patrick Chung, who I think is going to be an up and coming star in this league, and Josh Barrett, if he can stay healthy. But this, I mean, Lee Bodden, we haven't seen a lot of him all year. I mean, McCourty has had a great rookie season. Not a lot of question marks with him that I've seen so far. Kyle Arrington, I still think there's question marks. Rozai Dowling, the other corner that they have. I mean, it's not going to shock me if the Dolphins put up, you know, 20 plus points in this game. It's not going to shock me one bit in opening game. Now, if the Patriots get some kind of a dominating pass rush, that Haynesworth can stay on the field more than two plays in a row, maybe things might be different.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at that, you think about, again, what the Dolphins' defense could be capable of doing. Now, I don't really personally think that there's a defense in this league that's going to be able to completely shut down the Patriots' offense. I mean, Patriots, by all means, is my Super Bowl favorite right now. But, you know, I think that their offense is that good. But, you know, when you look at what the Dolphins' defense can do, it should at least offset any potential handicaps that the Dolphins' offense suffers in some capacity. So, you know, I think that you do see some evening out there in terms of a dominant defense against dominant offense and a lot of questions on the other side of that matchup. So I think that, you know, there are a lot of things we don't know about either team right now, and it's going to make for a good game, regardless of how lopsided anybody thinks it might be nationally. I'm pretty sure that the fan base in New England and the fan base in Miami do expect a pretty good rivalry to ensue on Monday night.
I mean, I expect a close. I mean, maybe the Patriots win by double, maybe 10 points, but yeah, I think it's down. Yeah, I think they pull away maybe in the end because they're just too talented on offense. But I think this is going to be a very nip and tuck game. Tell me about, and for those people up here who might remember Cameron Wake, but how special is this guy?
Yeah, he's a cool guy. I mean, you just look at the rise that he's taken to get here. You know, an undrafted rookie to the Giants and who gets bounced out of there in 2 months, ends up a year later deciding he's not going to give up on the game, goes to the CFL, plays there for 2 years, gets his shot with the Dolphins, and by all means has proven everybody that doubted him before wrong. And the thing about Cameron Wake that makes him so special is that he gets so low to the ground. If you have a chance on Monday night to watch him isolated in any camera angle that you might get, take a look at how low to the ground he gets as he gets around underneath those big, massive tackles. They just can't get low enough to defend him, and that's what makes it so difficult to keep him from getting to the quarterback, and I don't expect that to change as long as he can stay healthy. I mean, for the next 3 to 4 years, his athleticism should get him to the quarterback 10-plus times per season, and he's just an exceptional pass rusher. I'll be very interested, though, this year to see how defenses or how opposing offenses plan for him, how much shipping they do, how much doubling up they do, but I think that he will definitely see some different kinds of schemes than he's seen in the past.
And really, you know, Matt Light and Nate Solder are going to have their work cut out for him, and I wouldn't be surprised at all. I know Gronkowski is a great blocking tight end as well as a great receiving tight end too, but it's going to be interesting to see how the Patriots contain him because he can do some major damage if you do not pay attention to him.
Yeah, no, yeah, I mean, like I said, this guy just gets so low to the ground, it makes it difficult even when it comes to chipping him and things like that. So I definitely expect to see a lot of different plans to attack him. I'm very curious to see if anybody's going to be able to contain him.
Do you think they put Vontae Davis on 85 for us, for the Patriots coming up on Monday night, or do you think Sean Smith will go with him first?
And what
about that tandem? I mean, I've heard Vontae say they're the best in the AFC East, but how do you feel about it?
That's Vontae being Vontae.
Of course, yeah.
The guy is fantastic. I mean, he's a character, and you know what? I get the sense that maybe Sperano was trying to instill those guys with a little bit of confidence that week, because you kind of sensed a lot of guys trying to speak with a little more bravado. Maybe Vontae took it a step too far, but in a very innocent way. I mean, Vontae believes in himself and he believes in Sean Smith, but by no means was he trying to disrespect anybody else out there.
Sure.
You know, I think these guys do have potential to be a very young, very solid group, and if Sean Smith can hold on to more of these interceptions, the guy can be, you know, up there with the elite. And if Vontae can be more consistent from week 1 to week 17, then he can definitely be elite. But both those guys have a lot of growing to do. Not sure how they're going to match up against the Patriots this weekend. I really don't know what they're going to do. But they have switched sides this year as opposed to last year. They have flip-flop sides. The Dolphins believe that Sean is just better off on the other side. I don't know how much stock to put into that, but it might be a little bit of a different look than you're used to from last year.
How do you think Miami is going to handle Hernandez and Gronkowski? I mean, it's just like unlike any other team in the NFL, these two guys and both second-year guys and both rookies last year made tremendous impacts on this team, unlike any two tight ends I've ever seen in my life following the NFL at one particular time. I mean, those two guys alone can create incredible matchup problems, and you got to stop them. You got to guard them because if you don't, I mean, then you got, you know, Deion Branch and Wes Welker, who always kills Miami. And, you know, Chad Ochocinco has not had a great preseason, obviously, but still is going to be a threat. How do you think the Dolphins are going to contain these two tight ends? I think that's a big key to this game.
I think that is the most underrated key to this game by far, especially when you look last year at how, actually the past 2 years, how exploited the Dolphins have been when it comes to covering those tight ends. And, you know, when you look at the way that the safeties have been unable to cover those guys, the linebackers have been able to cover them, and I'm not just talking about the Patriots tight end, I'm talking about in general. So when you take two young guys like that and stack them up against this Dolphins defense, it's really going to be important for a guy like Kevin Burnett to get involved in that coverage as well. The Dolphins believe they upgraded from Channing Crowder to Kevin Burnett in the middle, Channing often struggling with coverage, with pass coverage skills, sometimes with those tight ends. Jeremiah Bell is going to have to do a better job as the safety back there. And I think that, the coverage of those tight ends, though, is really going to be important because they have to limit those chunk yardage that you've seen in the past from those guys. The Dolphins can be exploited there, and if they don't secure that area, it's going to be a huge point of weakness for the Dolphins defense.
And last year, certainly in the first game, early October last year, I mean, it was a close game in the first half, and then special teams took over. And again, the Dolphins fired their special team coach after that game and all that stuff. But have things improved for the Dolphins in that phase of the game?
Well, they definitely improved as the season went on last year. Yeah. But, it'll be interesting to see how much they're able to improve this year. They have a very different roster makeup this time around, with six wide receivers, only three running backs, and really when you consider that Reggie Bush is not going to be on special teams, you don't really have that many big kind of running back bodies in the coverage units. I'm very interested to see if they're able to overcome some of those pitfalls last year, but I don't know that anybody in the history of this game has ever seen a worse special teams performance than that one last year. Anything better than that will certainly be an upgrade.
Now, let me ask you about, we all know the impact from Hard Knocks last year. I've talked about when I saw Danny Woodhead, I was like, my God, I didn't think he'd fit in with the Jets because they just were overloaded in that area. I'm like, God, if he could come here, I would be so happy. But I'm reading up on A.J. Eads, and the Patriots, of course, picked him up yesterday. And there seems to be a lot of media and a lot of fans that think that this guy could really come back to haunt and bite Miami in the butt. Maybe not Monday night, but maybe in years to come. I mean, a lot of people I know they're overloaded at linebacker down with the Dolphins, but can this guy be an impact player on the Patriots this year?
I am one of those people. Sign me up as somebody who thinks that he was prematurely cut. Mm-hmm. Now, I say that not based on the knowledge that I have of him, and sometimes I try to refrain a little bit because, you know, I don't always know all of the inner workings of why they would cut a guy, whether it has to do with health or some other reason. But you're talking about a player who, when they drafted him, they believed that he would make an immediate impact as a coverage guy on third down last year. He blew out his knee in the preseason, never got the chance to prove himself at all, comes back this year, and less than a month into seeing him, they decide to cut him. They have 10 linebackers on the roster, decided they couldn't afford to keep all of them, and release him. I don't think his work ethic is a question. I think this is a disciplined guy who fits very much with that system up there in New England. I mean, I knew as soon as they released him that New England would pick him up, and it had nothing to do with just trying to get the homework, to kind of get in the guy's head about the next opponent. I believe that Bill Belichick picked him up with the intention of keeping him there and developing him. And I'm telling you that this is one of those ones that really seems like it could come back and bite the Dolphins. I really do think that he might have been prematurely cut there.
Yeah, and again, I can't remember a play off the top of my head where I've seen him play because of the injury and because we don't get to see a lot of Miami preseason games here. But to me, it does remind me a little bit. I'm not saying he's going to have the impact that Woodhead had when he got here last year, but it seems everything I've read that he could be that kind of guy. And, man, what a steal that would be if that were the case.
You know, I was joking with a guy today over at Dolphins camp, another writer, that, I mean, this is the kind of guy who people are talking about that it's just a one-week thing, and I was like, I see it as a 10-year thing. I mean, honestly, this guy, I don't want to oversell him because I haven't seen enough of him either, but just from the things I heard about him throughout the year, and maybe it was just coach speak, but he had a solid preseason. I mean, it wasn't like the guy was terrible during the preseason. I think he led the team in tackles, if not was up there. So, I mean, he hasn't been a total bust, a total washout, and certainly has not had time to really develop. So yeah, the Dolphins better be crossing their fingers that he doesn't work out, because that's going to look very bad if they cut a guy they drafted last year who they believed they had a lot of invested in, and then all of a sudden he shows up for the Patriots and becomes a baller.
One final question. What about Tony Sparano? If the Dolphins should start off very slow, say they're 1-4, is his job in jeopardy out of the gate?
At 1-4? I mean, yeah, I would say that at 1-4, things could get pretty dicey, because that suggests that Chad Henne is not doing all that well. I actually do anticipate that Jeff Ireland is safer than Tony Sparano right now.
Really?
I think that he's developed a relationship with the owner. And, you know, as dysfunctional as it might have been to get them there, I actually don't think it's a bad thing to have a head coach who's coaching with a level of urgency and a general manager who isn't panicking. I think that that actually probably is exactly, as an owner, what you want the dynamic to be. And I think that that's what we've seen right now. Sparano realizing he can't coach conservatively. You've got to attack more often. And Jeff Ireland not panicking and overbidding on a quarterback this offseason. So maybe in some weird dysfunctional way, the dynamic that has occurred here could actually work out for the best. But yeah, Tony Sparano definitely coaching for his job right now.
So I'm thinking the forecast for Monday night, 80-90% humidity, which is funny because when you guys come up here on New Year's Day, it'll be 8 degrees. Flip-flop to 80, it'll be 8 degrees and a blizzard.
Yeah, great juxtaposition. Definitely going to be hot, muggy, and hopefully not rainy. But the good news is I'm hearing that it looks like at this point the baseball field will be covered.
Oh, thank God.
That
chibble that's out there, you know. Oh, my goodness.
Awful. I just hate the fact that there have been times that games have been dictated by that baseball field. And thankfully the Marlins have their own stadium now, and no longer will we have to watch that disgusting thing that takes place, especially when it rains.
Jeff Gallatin, thank you so much for taking the time out on the Pete Shepherd Show. I really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you down the line. Should be a hell of a game Monday night. I really think it's going to be a great one.
Looking forward to it.
All right, Jeff, thanks. Yep. Take care. That's Jeff Gallatin of the Miami Herald, and check out his stuff. He's one of the great writers, beat writers in the NFL, and real nice guy. So check him out on the Miami Herald website. That's some good insight. So I think that's interesting. I'm glad he backed up my premise on AJ Eads, because and I'll be honest with you, he wasn't one of the people that I saw that was writing anything about him. I didn't go back enough far enough in the archives. I was looking at some fan comments and some other writers around the Florida area were basically saying what Jeff was just saying about AJ Eads. I mean, he doesn't want to overblow it, nor do I. But this guy may end up being the steal of the whole thing when it's all said and done, you know, if he can stay healthy. All right, going to take a couple more. We'll read a couple more Facebook messages and emails, and then it'll be time to head on home and wait for tomorrow's show.
Slosh on.
And now you're gonna have to come in and reset my screen up here because it just went.
Sounds good.
It waited too long. So I'll read stuff on Facebook if I can. I read all of these already. How many sacks is Albert Haynesworth? Who the hell knows how many sacks is Albert Haynesworth going to get? Like I said, I just want him to be able to play three downs in a row, if that's possible. Maybe that's not their plan. It is for him to play three downs in a row. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't play third down. Maybe he just plays first and second down this year. But, again, the intangibles, I favor Miami a little bit here because of the weather and because it's opening night. And I do think, Chad Henne will have some success against the Patriots. I'm just not sure what to expect. I think he can be rattled. I'm hoping the Patriots can jump on his case early and get a lead here, because that's where I think Miami will be in trouble. I don't want this team lingering around in that heat down there. Gene says, hi, Pete. Could you ask my reporter what he thought of AJ? I'm going to do that anyway. I obviously did that, and you heard his answer. I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised. Hi, Pete. I believe BB has to make room on the roster as he could try out some of the new guys in the game situation. He has a lot of depth in the defensive line, so he could afford to remove Warren. BB knows what he has in Warren. Actually, Warren played well in preseason. Henny's biggest problem is he's playing at home. I watched the Miami game down here, and the fans have very high expectations, and you're right. If they fall behind at all, it could get ugly. Chad would have a better chance of winning in New England. My only concern is Rex punching out Rob after Dallas destroys the Jets. That would be funny. Now, that's, I would love to see that. Mike says, Pete, love the show.
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers.
That was the lamest thing I've ever seen in my life. Pete, love the show. Is Lofa Tupu still available? I remember Seattle releasing him, but not sure if anyone picked him up. I think he'd be a great fit. Not sure if he's available. I know, Kev. Is Lofa Tupu available? I think he probably is. Next, from Wisconsin, I feel as though many people think that 4-3 would be great because they think the 4-3 defense will put more pressure on the quarterback, which it will, but I would rather see the extra linebacker blitzing to pressure quarterback. If anything, do you think the Pats will run the 4-3 as smooth and effective as they did the 3-4?
Still a free agent, Pete.
Yeah. Well, again, 4-3, 3-4. 3-4, they ran last year 39 to 40% of the time. 39 to 41% of the time, depending on who you believe. So that leaves 60% of the time where they weren't running it at all. So I really think that stuff is overrated. I just do. And I'm with Bill. I'm with the coach on that one. I've always thought that 4-3-3-4. You know,
it is what it is.
They play so many different formations. Josh says, "What does this guy think about the special teams this year, considering how bad they were last year and how that cost Miami any chance the last year's game in Miami?" I just got the message. I mean, these are all questions I was going to ask anyway, and I did. And you heard the answer. I mean, there was no place to go but up for the Dolphins last year after the preseason, after the game against the Patriots. I mean, that was just. That was just unbelievable. I mean, again, I don't want to take away from what the Patriots did because they were outstanding. I mean, Patrick Chung had an unbelievable game. And also, Ninkovich was outstanding on defense, and they had a lot of points off turnover the last year. So, but I just don't think opening night there. I don't see 41 to 14. But that's going to do it for the Pete Shepard Show for this Wednesday. Wow, that went by fast. Thanks to, again, our special guest, Jeff Darlington of the Miami Herald. Tomorrow I will be back again. I'll be joined by Brian Lowe in the first hour. Fantasy football live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Fantasy football in the first hour, and then we'll do more Patriots-Miami talk in the second hour. And it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow with Brian. Looking forward to it very much. Thanks to Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing. And we might have a special guest tomorrow, Kevin Wright, somebody national covering
trying to have something cooking here.
Something cooking about New Orleans and Green Bay out in Packerland out there. Try to get somebody who's at the game, somebody you might be very familiar with. I don't want to give it away, but it'll be fun. Football begins tomorrow night, baby. Thank God for that. NFL football, that is. Have a great and safe rest of your Wednesday night. Pete Shepard, see you tomorrow at 4. Bye-bye.
Pete Shepard, the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com radio.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the Pats were driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89150 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.